This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
It has gone to hell in a handbag. Thanks for announcing that off air this week.
Yes.
In true professional fashion.
Well, thanks, darling. I can't tell. For people who don't know, Nick, you are the one who controls the buttons. So I have no say in this. You might put me on air or off air at any second, really. You know, I could be chatting away and suddenly people can't hear me anymore. Exactly.
Just like that. Oh, the power. In fact, what I was trying to do was this.
Seize the Day, Joy's National Youth Week Day of Special Broadcasting is brought to you by proud Joy sponsor Beyond Blue. Concerned about a friend? Check out youthbeyondblue.com for information on depression and anxiety.
And the reason why I was wanting to play that little piece of information is
yes.
Because, as you've rightly told our dear listeners, it is in fact National Youth Week, and as a result, we have got a couple of examples.
Of young people?
Of youth. Real live ones, right here in the studio with us.
Marley, I don't know what to say to them, though.
What about, hey, Marley, welcome to the show.
Brilliant.
Oh, thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Now, you are the grand old age of...
16.
Wow. You can sort of divide that into my age a little bit jealous. No.
We're like old enough to be your mothers if we were that way, sort of, you know, inclined. Like in terms of, you know, breeding, which neither of us have.
No, we haven't. And let's not be sad. It's National Youth Week. Let's try and be happy for the youngsters.
Joy!
You know? Yes, exactly. So 16, is it great being 16 or is it a worry?
It was a lot better. Oh, wait, no, it was my birthday last week. I'm 17.
I lied.
Oh, happy birthday and congratulations.
Oops, it's good being 17.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Already it's better being 17 than it was being 16.
Yeah, I'm allowed to make better cakes now.
Ooh, better
that's
cakes.
Cryptic.
Brownies?
No.
So, tell us how you came to be here with us on this show.
Okay, so last year I was contacted by a friend through an organisation called Y-Gender, which is around people who aren't gender conforming, so they might be gender fluid, agender.
Ooh. See, this is the thing about youngsters. They've got all this vocabulary. Hang on, gender fluid?
Yeah.
So haven't made their mind up yet. They don't know whether they're man, woman.
They think they sort of change between the two, and on one day they might be more male than female, and on one day they might be more female.
That is me. We didn't have those words at that age.
No, we didn't. We're old, Amali, so we didn't have these terms. We were just weird, they used to call us, which is great that that's actually changed.
Yeah, so gender fluid, what else?
There's like agender, which is no gender.
Like agenda. Yeah, okay.
Stop pushing your own.
Yes.
And then there's obviously the trans umbrella, so there's transgender, transsexual, transvestite, all of that trans umbrella.
Right.
And there are, of course, friends and supporters there as well. So I was contacted through that organisation that Beyond Blue had contacted them and wanted people to come on and talk about their experiences with depression and anxiety who fit under the GLBTIQ spectrum. So I put my hand up for that, and I filmed my story, and it's gotten out to quite a few people. Like, it's had quite a few thousand hits, and now I'm here.
It was as simple as that. All you had to do was have a really bad time, basically. Is that what you're saying?
I guess. Not really bad time. I mean... Yeah, I had a bad time, but I'm a lot better now.
Great. So, I mean, tell us what your story was, because Nick went to have a look at it yesterday, but wouldn't play for you,
would
it?
Wouldn't play for me, no.
So give us a little précis of your story.
I used to get bullied quite badly, and I ended up suffering from depression, which sucked, and I talked about how that affected me, not just while I was suffering from depression, but also afterwards, and how it's affected me socially since as well.
Was that at school that you were bullied, or was that in sort of... did you have close friends that were supportive of you?
That was at school. I didn't have many friends at school at that time, but I've changed schools and everything.
So and things are better?
Things are amazing at this new school.
Oh, that's so good. Are we allowed to... plug the school or not? I don't know.
I think probably. We can mention a school. They're not a...
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
They're not a sponsor.
No, we don't need to do that. No. We don't need
but,
to do that.
So was your bullying to do with your sexuality or perceived gender confusion?
I think it was part to do with that and just part to being just different to everyone else, not wanting to be like everyone else in the school, not wanting to necessarily go and play, oh, not even play, talk, because that's what girls do, they talk, and right. It's really boring. whereas I wanted to go out and play footy and everything like that, yeah. And people don't like it when you go against what they think you have to be.
Mm.
It's amazing, you know, I'm going to say this as an oldie, in this day and age, that you would still face that, those really tight gender frameworks, that if you want to play footy and don't want to chat with the girls, that you know, there's something wrong with you and you need to be put down and brought into line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still very prominent because it's one of the first things people notice about you. The first thing they really do is go, you're a boy or a girl, and that's the first thing they notice. Mm-hmm. So it tends to be part of how people define a person, completely. So and when you go against that, like, I've taken to just ignoring if people misgender me, I just ignore it completely.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas other people decide to correct them, but I don't do that because it confuses people more and makes right. people angry.
Yeah, oh god, that's the last thing you want. I'm sorry, a bit blown away by Marley's maturity here, Nick.
I can tell at once. So Marley, yeah. Tell us, but you were just saying off air that you're on a bit of a council.
She's 16, listeners. She's on a council.
No, 17.
Already.
She forgot. Oh, she had a birthday last week. Yeah. So at least someone listens. So you are off on a bit of a camp, you were saying, today.
Yeah, this afternoon I'm going on a working camp with my fellow executive for...
17, I tells you. It's all downhill from now.
For the Victorian Student Representative Council. So
okay.
It's like... the Victorian Student Representative Council is a peak body for SRCs around the state. So an SRC, they're like the student representatives of the school, so that might be the prefects.
Right.
Or
yes,
those people.
The do-gooders.
I wanted to be one of those until I got my dyslexia sorted and realised it wasn't perfect. It's true. It's actually true.
Oh, that is quite sad, isn't it?
Thank you.
So obviously you like mucking in and sort of getting in and making changes. I mean, you executives, you fellow executives at this camp, what are you going to do?
So this is primarily a working camp, getting in to prepare for our camp, a big camp which we invite schools all around the state for.
Mm-hmm.
We invite everyone, government schools, independent schools, Catholic schools, all of the schools, and it's sort of our AGM of sorts, and we elect a new executive.
Mm-hmm.
So,
are you running for this? Oh, no, you already are an executive, aren't
you? Already representative,
yes.
Already happening.
It's my third term, actually, so I might do it again for my fourth.
Just like Maggie.
Overachiever. I'm sure you don't admire Maggie Thatcher, do you?
I don't know who you're talking about.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
We are really showing our age here in the presence of
yes,
a 17-year-old.
But so was the 17-year-old. Never knew who Maggie Thatcher was.
No, did know. Did know. Didn't know her as Maggie.
Well, there you go.
That's so that's us being overly familiar.
Because we are overly familiar.
Deceased politicians.
We lived through it. So what is your view of Margaret Thatcher, Marley?
Right now, I don't know. I think she put the country...
She's dead.
Yeah.
That'll do.
No, Marley's got an opinion and I want to hear it.
Some of her policies were a bit way out, but some of them were also really good, and I don't think people are treating her death very respectfully either. Like, yesterday there was a story of a student union from a university coming out and saying the school was celebrating her death, and I just think that's not very nice.
Well, Nick, you've got an opinion on this too.
Well, I was talking to you this morning, Gillian, who you didn't particularly see very much of the news footage yesterday.
No, I didn't.
But there was a bit of goings on down in Brixton, I think it was.
Well, she was not too popular.
Is that South London?
Yeah.
South.
Deep
yeah, South. Down there, where she was not overly popular.
No, there were riots against her.
There were riots when she was alive and in mm-hmm. office. And I've got to say, I do not agree with Thatcher's politics
mm-hmm.
in the slightest. However, I do feel that the general congregating in the street over bottles of champagne over the death of somebody is a little bit rough.
There you go. Well, you and Marley are totally at one on that.
Yeah, I don't know. There's the politician and there's the person.
And you can separate the person from the politician, can you?
Oh. The majority of the time. Oh, who's that? Is that someone texting you in to say...
It's my bank manager. Morning!
How'd you go? Did you get approved?
but what my bank manager has to say is that Margaret Thatcher sucked.
Right. Thank you.
That's an opinion.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
So you've got a cellophane wrapped pen there in your show bag. We went through it earlier and we didn't eat your jelly beans.
We wanted to. Nick wanted to nick them. It's true. Get your pen out and let's see how rattly that cellophane really
is. Let's imagine. We're doing an on-air experiment. Imagine you've got a choc top.
And you're in cinema. I'm annoyed.
I'm annoyed. Shh, I'm saying to you. And then you're not liking me and it's aggression in the cinema.
No, I stare at people at the back of their head thinking, you know, like, can't you feel me staring at the back of your head?
Yeah, well, I could. Boring into the back of my
eyes
skull.
Are rolling around.
Gillian, in happier news, all lanes are clear now down at Chatty.
Hooray!
Happy with that.
It's National Youth Week. The young people, they got more and more and more. It's lovely being young. It's actually not that great being young, is it, Marley?
I think it's pretty good. I get to live at home. I don't have to do any washing. I don't have to pay bills.
Listen to that.
I'm coming to live at your place. Got a spare room?
No.
She lives near Vic Marcus as well. Sounds great. Really? Do we really need a National Youth Week is what I'm asking.
You want National Over 40s week.
Yes, if you don't mind. We don't have anything special for the over 40s. If you're knackered at the other end and you can't remember your own name, you have a week then, don't you?
Yeah, that's, what is it? Elderly Persons Week.
Seniors Week.
Seniors Week. They already get a card.
I know.
They get a card so everything's cheap. They get
pushed around.
Cheap tickets so they can afford their rattly chock top.
Just like the youth, what do we get, the over 40s?
We get nothing. We get high taxes. We get phone calls.
Yeah, we get all sorts of abuse. Nobody pays us any attention because we're nothing special.
No, I know. We're just middle of the road as well, middle of the life. So listen, what kind of music are the youth of today listening to?
I don't know about other youth, but I listen to a lot of a cappella.
But a lot of a cappella.
Yeah.
Give us an example.
You could do
Since
a bit.
You can.
You could do a bit, couldn't you?
So at the moment, actually, I've had a bit of a weird liking of a Melbourne group called Suede, which is S-U-A-D-E.
Ooh, tricky.
I've liked a group. I like a group called The Exchange. I like some collegiate American groups like the Tufts of Beelzebub.
Could you give us a couple of bars? Of your favourite tune?
We'll do the music. Ready?
Yeah. No, there's no music. You're right.
Oh, Jill. We'll leave you to think about that one and you can perhaps come back in the next break with a bit of that.
Tricky.
Ooh, sharp.
Give me another coffee.
Sharp. That tells you.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
We have Marley here, don't we?
We do. Hi, Marley. Now, Marley, are you in a relationship currently?
I am not in one currently.
Not in one currently?
No.
What about in the past? Have you been in a relationship? You see, just to fill our listeners in, it's National Youth Week. We've got Marley sitting in with us. She's just turned 17, overachiever. She's exec on boards all over the place, going off for a work camp.
She's busy.
Very busy. And seems to have done a lot more than I would have done at that age. So presumably you've had relationships, have you?
I don't know if you would define them as that.
So we've got to define a relationship?
I've had one or two or three where it started off with me being a little bit interested and being all like, oh yeah, I'll go along with this and talking, and all of a sudden the other person gets ridiculously obsessed with talking to me.
Oh, that old chestnut.
Like one person texted me like 200 times in 3 days.
Oh dear.
So
have you changed your number?
Not yet. I just.
That's not a relationship. That's stalking, isn't it? I would say that's stalking.
But it started off.
When you're a lesbian, it sometimes gets a bit grey then.
It's true. It's true. Lesbian dating, stalking, fine line, I tells you.
But it started off as a potential relationship.
Right.
Like, met up, and then all of a sudden it just went bang.
You're too... you're too wonderful, Marley. Obviously, you completely got her between the eyes. So when you've sort of... went out with them the first time, was there anything you thought you wouldn't talk about? You think, that's not good for a first date?
I try to avoid talking about myself.
So how do they get to know you, Marley?
I just ask them questions. I'm a good listener.
Smart. Deflect.
No. How do they there walk away then going, oh, I feel like I've just been to a therapy session.
Or an interview.
Well, I hope I get the job.
Oh, when I talk about myself, I seem really snobby and up myself.
So I don't think so.
I'll take that on board.
First date. But this is not just for fun, listeners. This is for our prize of the week, which is CD. No, hang on. We've moved beyond CDs. We give DVDs away.
DVDs.
Now.
Yep.
DVD of the week, which is Keep the Lights On. It has the critics raving. Next magazine said, forget Brokeback Mountain. This is the most heartbreaking gay love story of our times. Have a tissue ready. It's a film about sex, friendship, intimacy, and most of all, love. And all we need to know, listeners.
Oh, yeah, sounds terribly sad.
It does.
What? Really?
What, if it's about love and intimacy?
And sex.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay.
I'm weeping already. And what we want to know from you,
listeners. You're wet with tears.
Now, stop it.
Stop it.
That's why we need the tissue. So, what we want to know is, what shouldn't you talk about on a first date? What's taboo on a first date?
Ex-partners.
All right. Fine. I'll take that as a suggestion. We'll just write it down here. Not that I need it for anything. 0427-JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. You need to be a member.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Gillian, there's a crash on Mount Derrimut Road, Derrimut.
Oh,
look out.
Terrible.
So if you're stuck out there, that's why. In other news.
Well, we played Rita Ora earlier. Do you remember? And we couldn't work out whether she was still... You thought she was saying party and bonk.
I thought she wanted
a party in a book. And Brandon is he's demystified the whole thing. He said she's actually singing party and bullshit. Oh, sorry, party and bull...
Beep.
Thank you. But it's a radio version, so is censored. It's a cover of the notorious B.I.G. song.
Oh. I'll say that like I'm enlightened, but I've no idea what you're talking about.
No, neither have I. Somebody went on a right thing about Margaret Thatcher.
Which we actually, we had a mention of before, but that's actually addressed in our competition this morning, asking people, what do you not talk about on a first date?
That's right, and it's not just for fun. It's for DVD of the week. Keep the lights on.
And Kevin has texted in and said, you do not talking about moving in together.
Kevin, you're not a lesbian.
Unless you're a lesbian. Paul. Paul says you shouldn't talk about politics. Marley's covering her mouth here at this stage. But Paul says you should not talk about politics.
Or a particular type of sexual
fisting.
Practice.
Also, Simo from the Paris end of East St Kilda. Oh. Surely that's North Caulfield. says, don't talk about how many people you've previously had sex with on a first date. Mate, that's good.
Hang on a minute. Do you mean, Simo, don't talk about the amount of people you've had sex with on a first date, as in you had sex with them on a first date?
No, when on a first date.
Because it puts pressure on, doesn't it?
No, that comma is very strategically placed.
Thank you.
Do not talk about how many people you've had previously had sex with.
On a first
whilst
date.
Whilst on a first date.
Not yeah, see, you've had sex with while you were on a first date with them. No, moving
Gillian,
on. Moving
when
on.
You're on a first date, don't talk about how many people you've previously had sex with.
Period.
Or when you're having
when you're
a radio
your
show. Don't talk about it either. 147. Okay. Now, also, Brandon has come back to us and says, he's got it all formatted and laid out for us.
Lovely.
Don't talk about one, ex-partners. Two, current partners. Three, drug use. Mm-hmm. Four, alcohol overindulgence. Just do that on a first date.
Do
surely.
It. Don't talk about it.
Don't talk about it.
With you.
Or STIs.
Yeah, nice.
Although,
one.
Although, no, maybe you do want to mention that if you're harbouring a few.
Well, if you're thinking about having sex with them on the first date.
Do you do that?
What?
Have sex on a first date?
Can I take the fifth? We don't have the fifth here, do we?
Well, take the one you're dating.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
So. And we have got a full studio. Welcome, David Hunt.
Hello.
Welcome, Marley.
Hey.
Hello, Gillian.
Morning.
Now, we were all just off here having a bit of a chat about being young, being old, being, you know, somewhere in the middle. And, David, you were just saying that time... ticked a lot slower in your day. Back in your day, you had to walk 2 miles to get stoned and have sex, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, and the rest. I wish it was only
these
that
days,
far.
You just get in a taxi.
or just go onto Grindr or something,
exactly.
And you've got them right there.
Look at you. You're so modern.
Look, it was really funny, and it was one thing that stuck in my mind, you know, like that time goes faster as you get older.
Do you know why?
We've
improved batteries and clocks and things. Things
right.
actually tick faster these
right.
days.
Okay, but you know, like, just this year already has gone so quickly, hasn't it? Wouldn't you
flown.
Agree?
Flown. Do you recall New Year's Eve? Are you giving me the bird? No. Or are you just holding your glasses on?
Marley's got a
you'd
finger
me
up
the
at
bird.
Nick.
She's holding her glasses on, but I thought you were flipping me the bird. Never mind.
But I remember this one day in particular. My mother had to run an errand. I had to sit at the bus stop and wait for a half an hour, and
did
that
you
half
say
hour
run an errand?
Yeah,
is that like go to the shops?
Yeah,
What is it in these days? Our day it was go to the shops. Your mum was running an errand. Mine was whipping down the shops. What was your? What did your mum do?
I'm going to get milk.
Going to get milk. Yeah. Being quite milk. Specific,
right?
Yep.
And she said I'll be half an hour. That half hour just dragged on forever and ever and ever. And I actually was quite.
Then child
off.
Services came along, picked him up.
Oh no!
Took him off to the orphanage.
So that's because you didn't have the Angry Birds app on your iPhone, darling.
Well, I didn't have anything, did I?
No. What did you have? A couple of sticks and a bit of grass.
I actually was drawing with a stick on the ground.
Old-fashioned apps.
Yes. Yeah.
Roman
apps.
Numerals.
Sticks. Now, David, you're not here just for fun, as Gillian would say. You're here with a reason, with a purpose.
Yes. Why am I here?
Well, because why are you? Yes. Existentialist of you, isn't it? Callum, our lovely Cal Pal, couldn't make it today. He's got the snots.
Yes. Well, he's a youth. The young, yeah, they don't build him like
no
they
work
used.
Ethic. No work ethic. Hey, he's got the snots. Oh, it's sneezed. I can't come in.
I'm not coming all the way in from Geelong today.
Which he does.
He comes on the train.
Which is amazing. I think that's so sweet. Of him to do
so
it.
I take everything I just said back Cal, and
yes.
You know, I'm going to send you a
so
box
he must
of
be
aloe
sick.
Vera tissues.
Get well.
He must be sick. If he hasn't come in, he must be sick.
But as you're aware, Callum usually does the pet segment. You may not know this, Marley, but we highlight a certain creature. Last week, which I know you'll be sad you missed out on, we did parasites.
Oh,
fabulous.
Nasty.
And there's this one that takes out the tongue of a fish and replaces it.
That's really cool.
Yeah, jump on our Facebook page and have a look at that.
It looks very
beauty.
Alien-ish, doesn't it?
Gross. Gillian was almost vomitous in the very thought of it. However, what we are going to replace Callum's creepy crawly pet segment.
See, nobody is irreplaceable, Callum, just letting you know.
Yeah, exactly. Is what we touched on a couple of weeks ago.
We did.
Your little penchant for garden gnomes.
Well, my kitschness. Of things like garden gnomes, because I said I can do either two things, garden gnomes or snow domes. See, because I'm big on snow domes as well. So next time you're away, Cullen, we'll be doing snow domes.
Oh, I just love that you like things that rhyme. It's like you've got this inner rap
it's got,
artist.
It's got thing for ohms.
I like snow domes and garden gnomes.
Now, garden gnomes are very important in society.
Of course.
And, you know, like they've been around since the 18th century. Earlier than that, the Italians loved them because they loved statues in their gardens.
Of course they do.
And they were dwarfs or hunchback people in the gardens. That's how they started.
What, real ones?
No, not real people, as statues. Because you know how beautiful the Renaissance gardens were, and they were always beautiful women holding jugs. And not their jugs.
I've got a couple of them in my garden.
Jugs, water carriers. And then holding the fabric over their jugs.
They're doing an examination.
Well.
It's a breast examination.
And yeah, like beautiful statues like that. But then there was the other side of it that was the dwarf or the hunchback person. And so they featured.
Like jug.
Yes, exactly. So they started it. But it wasn't until the 19th century that the Germans latched onto it and went, hold on, we like these little guys, and they made them so that everyone started having them in their gardens.
Now, the Germans, they were quite prolific with their little guys, weren't they?
They were. They were
How
very...
do you know this?
I might know a little bit about the garden gnomes. Right.
And the actual outfits they have, they always had a peaked hat, which was generally red. A lot of people will actually get a little bit confused and think they're a Father Christmas, but they're not.
No.
There is a difference.
Don't go messing up those kinds of things.
There is a difference.
Of course there is.
So they do have a red hat like Father Christmas, but he's doesn't stand straight up, does it? It flops.
It's flaccid.
With a bell on
it's
the
flaccid,
head.
Isn't it? Yes. Rather than erectus.
So what makes a gnome's hat stand up, David?
Excitement, Gillian. Excitement.
Actually, if you go to Wake Up It's Wednesday's Facebook page, I've put two garden gnomes up, and they're gay ones. They're standing next to each other looking very content, and one of them, the top of their hat has been chipped.
Yeah.
Oh.
Where is it? Have you lost it?
Yes, I have. I've lost my gnome. Come back.
Anyway, back to it. And they usually wear a little green jacket with a belt around it.
Can I just perhaps go out on a limb here and say, is this the Winkelstein?
Yes.
Oh, it's a particular type of gnome, is it?
Are you impressed?
I'm very impressed. How do you know that?
King of the Hill.
King of the Hill?
You know the cartoon, King of the Hill?
No.
Ah, there you go. Well, I've got something to teach you about.
Okay, but then in the... back in the 50s, in the 30s, sorry, the English really embraced it.
Yeah,
and they actually changed, because it was just called a garden ornament before then, and they called it the garden gnome. Exactly.
Yeah.
So they called it the garden gnome, and it became a huge craze in the 30s. And that's when it swept all of Europe in the 30s and became...
Pretty much like the British Empire had done, you know, centuries before.
Yes. And, of course, it was very kitsch. You know, like, if you had a garden gnome in your yard, it was pretty bad taste of yard. Not like these days where it's something really good. But then,
a flamingo. Or an entire swan.
But then there became the roaming gnomes.
Roman gnomes?
Roaming.
Remember when they send you postcards?
Yes, where people come into your garden and steal your garden gnome and take it on holidays with them.
That's great.
And take photos of it and send it back to you. And you've got no idea who it is, and all of a sudden a postcard arrives with your garden gnome somewhere in the rest of the world.
That's fantastic.
And it became a huge craze. And in 2008, a 53-year-old French man was arrested on suspicion of having 170 garden gnomes in his possession, which he'd stolen from people's front gardens.
Do you know what? If I stand very still in my own garden, will somebody come and steal me away and take me on a holiday and send a postcard to my girlfriend?
Only if you've got a pink red hat.
I'm getting one!
And then, of course, you know, like after them being this popular and world famous, there was even a movie made about them called where they did a spoof on Gnomeo and Juliet. Did anyone see it? It was an animated film.
I'm sure nobody saw it.
It was hysterical.
Hang on. Marley's seen it.
Did you see that?
Are we talking about Gnomeo and Juliet from a few years ago?
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah.
It was good fun, wasn't it? So they lived in opposite gardens to each other.
Yes.
So it was the rivalry like Romeo
and Juliet. The Capulets and the Montagues. Yes.
And one had red hats and the other one had blue hats.
Oh, like the Pontypines.
And they would sort of meet in the laneway to fight and stuff. Absolutely hysterical. It was really good fun. Elton John did all the music for it as well. And so, you know, like how popular are garden gnomes?
Well, everything you ever wanted to know about garden gnomes but were too afraid to ask, we've given you that. Thanks, David
Hunt.
See,
I haven't been afraid to ask. This is how I know.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.